Okay, I'm working in the axis between anthropology and art. And at the moment, there's a lot of traffic between those two worlds in that anthropologists are appropriating art to look at new ways of communicating ideas about culture, new knowledge, and artists are appropriating some anthropological methods in order to create new types of art and new types of experiences. So, and I kind of sit in between these worlds and currently in a spectacularly ambiguous position, and I'm looking at this axis through new media and media practice. And I'm working with an anthropologist who has an archive of materials from the Sudan that dates back to the 1960s and is an ongoing archive. She's been to and fro to the Sudan over that whole period and also goes to America to do more field work with Sudanese refugees who've gone to America. And more recently, she's also bought a video camera and given it back to people she's worked with in the Sudan so that they can start recording and documenting their own history. So the thing about this work is if she hadn't started recording, making these records in the 1960s, nobody would have done. And it's only recently that access to technology is now available to the people that she was working with, and we're starting to get mobile phones and starting to enter the new media age themselves. So this work raises issues about authorship and media practice and communicating pieces of ideas and pieces of work from the archival materials, and also about user-generated content and the relationship between that and making these materials accessible and available so that the people that these materials are about can contribute and can work with these materials in relation to their own history and their own ongoing access to memories of the past through the audio and moving image and photographic recordings that Wendy has. So that's the kind of context. In relation to this, we did a paper at a conference on the anthropology of sound, and at that conference there were both sound designers and artists and anthropologists. And what we presented was a piece about soundscapes and about memory and about cultural transmission. And the techniques that I'm using with the archive are combining, recombining and juxtaposing. So I'm putting on screen juxtapositions of clipped recordings from the 1960s with more recent recordings from a refugee camp, because it's a story of displacement. I'm looking at reenactment of activities that happened in the 60s that through displacement became dormant because there wasn't access to the materials needed in order to conduct those activities. So in terms of music and dance and performance, in the refugee camps more recently, there's access to wood and to the materials that are needed in order to recreate the instruments of the 1960s. So I've got on-screen juxtapositions showing reenactments of activities in the 60s being rephrased, reenacted as a form of cultural transmission and as a form of memory. And then more recently, the people, I mean, basically Wendy, who I'm working with, has followed the same small group of people through, you know, so it's a kind of story of what's happened over this 40-year span. More recently, there's been repatriation back to the Sudan, so they've returned to the what we could call the homeland of the 60s, which actually, if you go further back in time, wasn't the homeland because there's been previous migrations, you know, 100 years ago, etc., etc. But have taken, the camera's been taken back, and there's been reenactments of major dances that and big parties, basically, that have been recreated through return to this perceived homeland. So it's looking at this relationship between past and present and displacement across space as well as time, and using techniques of spatial montage to look at the relationship between looking at continuity and change through time and through place. And as I say, I was going to just show just a couple of clips to illustrate that. But it's work in progress, and I'm working with the Pitt Rivers Museum, which is where these materials are going to be lodged for posterity. And Wendy, they're all just in big boxes in her loft at the moment, so she needs to create an archive. And then I'm looking at interface and ways of creating multi-layered narratives and experiences through which the archive materials can be interpreted, both from a kind of authorship point of view and from looking at the relationship, you know, making these materials accessible so that people themselves can add to them or develop them. And Rod's point, what's interesting me is in the Pitt Rivers Museum, they now have a gallery space. It's a purpose-built gallery space. Artists do put work in that space in response to what's in the Pitt Rivers Museum. And we're planning to put some work in that space to go alongside a conference they're holding on the Sudan. But it's really interesting to me what the expectations of people who will go to the gallery in the Pitt Rivers Museum, what they will expect. Will they expect information, or will they want to enter into a dialogue? And that, to me, sums up this axis between art and anthropology and this traffic. That there's a lot of talk, social scientists are starting to use visual materials as part of their research methods, communicate work not only through text but through different forms of media. And say artists are then interpreting in a more abstract way materials. So what kind of audience would go to that gallery, and what would they expect? And all those issues open up. So it's just kind of work in development. I've got the assets, I've got the interesting materials, now I need to think of ways to use those materials to create different pieces for different audiences.